Thank you so much. Here we are worldwide live on the internet through BBS Radio. It is today October 4th, 2017. Another call episode where if you have questions, we have answers. Will be processed tonight, so we'll see what questions have come in. Who joined in? Is it April?
It's actually John from Vegas.
It's John. Oh, hi, John. Welcome. How are you?
All right.
All right. How come I didn't? Do you have a different? Do you have a different phone number? Or not? Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure, Jane.
Hi, did you know that the Webots predicted the Las Vegas event?
Yeah? Oh, yeah?
How could they predict it?
It's based on language. It sees the future.
Oh, Webbot. Okay, Webbot. It reads that. Yeah. It's like a crawler. It crawls.
September 6th. Yeah, it crawls all over the internet and
picks up stuff.
It picks up language from changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it predicted this on September 6th.
It predicted on September 6th. Huh. And what do you call it? Web box?
It predicted it would happen this month.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, this is Cleo from Connecticut.
Hello, Cleo. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Now, John, what did you say? What do you call it? Web what?
Bot. B-O-T.
B-O-T.
Cliff Highs, Webbots.
Okay. Yes, I have it, yeah.
I could show you right in the report where it predicted it.
Yeah. All right, good evening to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
It's Suzanne in Columbus. Hi.
Suzanne, good evening. Welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here.
A little bit early. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and so also welcome to all those that are listening in on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here.
Yesterday morning, they left.
Good evening. Welcome to the phone call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry at Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Bit of a cold?
No.
All right. Good. Hey, thank you for being here, Terry.
You're welcome.
All right. More people joining in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Jeannie and Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie. Good evening and welcome.
Prudence in North Carolina. Hi, everyone.
Who is that from North Carolina?
Prudy.
Hi, Prudy. Welcome.
Thank you.
Right. And welcome to all those that have joined in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome, Don. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
All right. Hi, do you know who Vermeer was?
Heard from what?
Do you know who Vermeer was?
Jan? Vermeer? The name sounds familiar, but I can't remember what it was about.
Dutch artist from like the 1600s.
Okay, now I wouldn't know about him, no.
Okay. Now you do.
Yes.
What about him?
I just watched a documentary. It's called Stolen, about some art paintings that were stolen from a Boston museum, and one of them was a Vermeer.
Oh.
Really?
We had another call join in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Darmananda.
Hey, Darmananda. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, Don, you're into art, right? You like to look at paintings and stuff.
Yes, I'm into art.
Yeah.
He's a good painter.
All right.
Vermeer? Oh, I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Terry is one of my collectors.
All right.
That's good. There's another movie about Vermeer. It's called All the Vermeers in New York. It was in the 80s mm-hmm. or 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Welcome to the next call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris from Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Good evening. Welcome.
All right. Thanks, Les.
And I believe another person joined in. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Thanks. This is Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice.
All right. The next caller, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, in Oregon.
Welcome, Deb.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Another person joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings, hi, from Sedona.
Raiden. Welcome, Raiden. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good Thanks evening. All right.
Terry's one of my collectors. The way most people collect my work, it's against their will.
Maybe not against their will, but not by choice.
Right.
Well, you sent me a painting, and I thought it was beautiful. It's like when you look at it up close, it looks totally different than when you look at it far away.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Teddy Brown, do you know about when his whereabouts?
Yeah, he went to his room about 7 minutes ago and said that he was getting ready for the call.
Okay.
Let me go and see what's going on here.
Well,
but
thank
he
you
should
too.
Be here momentarily.
In the pyramid.
And welcome to all those that are joining in over here by going online, listening to BBS Radio. We welcome you. And as with all the Wednesday calls, if you have questions, we have answers. You do have the chance to email a question to Wynn. And the email address is questions@intelligent-infinity.com. questions@intelligent-infinity.com.
I think Wynn's pyramid is just a pile of rubble now.
Due to?
The wind.
Oh, yeah?
He said the wind blew his pyramid over.
God had destroyed Wynn's pyramid.
Good evening, Wynn.
Hello, Harris. Where have you been?
Where have I what?
Where have you been?
Where have you been?
I was waiting for you. Oh, come on. I'm just being...
We have time anomalies. Oh, no.
The best defensive is a good offensive.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, I'm glad you're here, Ben. We are live on BBS Radio. Bunch of people are here with us, and I'm very glad to hear many happy voices.
All right. Now, where is Terry?
Terry should come and find you to see what was up.
I see.
She's
okay.
Probably on her way back right now to her own Studio 4B, I think.
Okay. Is daylight savings time coming up? I mean, regular time coming up?
It should be like right after Halloween, I guess.
Which is October, correct?
Yes, I guess. Yeah, late October?
Yeah. Okay.
We did have two more people join in. Welcome, and if you want to, please say your name and location. Welcome.
Hi, this is Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni. Welcome.
Thank you.
Who else?
Joni, Joni, when are you going to be a moderator?
Oh, my calendar is so full right now. That's all I can do, to call in.
All right, be that way.
Thank you for thinking of me in that way.
You have a perfect persona to be a moderator.
I know.
Good voice.
Well, thank you. It's a commitment and time problem right now.
Yeah,
really.
You don't have to do it every day, just one or two days a week.
Mm-hmm. Terry, you're breathing in the microphone.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi.
All right, never mind. You let me know.
Okay, I will.
Well, if you need somebody, I can do it.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to have to do a separate subdivision for you. Terry, you're still breathing into the microphone.
I'll mute myself.
Sounds like a phone sex line.
What is that?
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
Thank you. That's why I hesitate. You never know what you're going to say. Okay. You know, one of the things when you're doing a call like this is even I, you have to, there's always the chance to make a cheap laugh or a cheap joke. You know, and sometimes we do it. It's not that it's bad to do it, except, let's see who's breathing. Now they stopped breathing just when I came here. Did you see that? Okay.
They died.
And I'll give you an example, Chris. What it'd be like if you were moderating? Hi, everybody. It's Chris. Oh, I'm so glad to hear you tonight. I have been sober now for a year. No drugs. Anyone else have no drugs for a year? Whoa. Oh, wait a second. Before we start, I want to play you a song by The Doors.
Well, I might want to talk too much. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to learn.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a thing of entertaining people.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah, I probably want to do too much, so.
I mean, I don't try to entertain.
I'm doing a call on Sunday with Ed Spooner's group. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm leading calls. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Ed Spooner drinks more than me.
Well, I don't drink.
No, he doesn't. Okay.
Well, he has one every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that, I guess. You know,
he does? How do you know he does?
Because I've seen him, he showed pictures of himself in a bar, meeting somebody in a bar with a beer. And he said it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
The fourth.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 4th, 2017, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everybody everywhere, and welcome to Whole Planet Healing. And right now, we do have this call tonight where people are asking questions. But the good news is nobody's asking any questions. So I'm thinking maybe I should let Chris entertain us through a call. Wouldn't that be cool? Am I right, Chris?
Yeah, I can do something. What do you want?
Never mind. No, I'm teasing you. I'll find a way. We have to test you more. Do some more practice. Okay. But I bet you're doing a good job. doing...
When?
Yeah.
You didn't get my question?
Is Who it is
Jeannie? Jeannie?
No, I got it. I didn't say we didn't have any questions.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't have any. So I was wondering if...
No, no, no. We don't have many questions.
Okay? I'm sorry.
Is what I said.
Okay.
I didn't say we didn't have any questions.
Okay.
I got your question. And it's high on the list. Okay?
Okay. All right.
And
I will mute myself. Thank you.
Okay. And you know, I do think it's fine that we don't have any questions. Or we don't have many questions. And that either means that some of you are scared to ask your question or don't have any questions. Okay, either way is okay. I'm looking up something here. Hang on. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
You know, Kimberly is going to be in San Francisco in a couple of weeks, I believe. Okay? And of course, Prudence had a really amazing experience with Kimberly. Prudence, are you on the line?
Yes, he's with us.
Prudence, you want to unmute and talk? You don't have to.
I'm doing it for her. I think this is her. Is it Prudy? Prudence.
Hi. Yes, I will talk, sure. What would you like to know?
What would I like to know? Geez. A lot. No, I'm teasing.
I could go on and on.
I'm being difficult. Well, you know, I think it's an amazing phenomenon to have someone who can do a healing on you and, you know, I have never run anybody into anybody that does what Kimberly does. And that she actually went into your body and you could feel her. And allegedly, and you know, we don't have this confirmed by a doctor or a medical guy, but allegedly something disappeared from your body. And a physical thing with atoms and molecules disappeared. And it's been about a week now. Maybe it's coming back. Who knows? Materializing again. I thought, you know, get a report. Because, you know, one of the things is it takes a lot of conviction for someone to do what you did, which was not having lots of money, committing yourself to go to New York from North Carolina, take a plane, stay in Elizabeth, take a bus into New York City, a lot of work, and you did it. And people don't want to go to, most people think, including me, I mean, believe me, when we first saw Kimberly, she was here in Sedona, and I didn't have any background on her at all. But she was here in Sedona, so we just had to spend some money and go to an event. And I didn't have any expectation. I said, I'm going to take a risk. You know, we were willing to take risks because if you had made donations that made it possible. And I'm sure you all heard the story. And I still think there's a risk, even for anybody that goes to see her. And I think when people hear the experiences of other people, they open up more to having an experience if you believe in it more. And that plays a part, because you definitely have to participate in the healing. And it's just like on this call, you have to participate inwardly on the call. And when you're skeptical, somebody could listen to this call and then think nothing's going on here. Or they could think, what a bunch of idiots. Or what a bunch of people listening to that idiot win. They could think that easily. And it's okay if they do. But you all didn't spend hundreds of dollars to be here tonight. If you're going to spend hundreds of dollars, you got to really feel, hey, this is a good investment of money. So Prudence happens to have extremely good testimonial, and I'm turning it over to her to share what's been going on. You can briefly, you told the story on some of our other calls of what went on, you know, when you first got there and you sat in the room. But you can go through that quickly and then go on to what's going on, you know, since you got back.
Sure. It was an amazing experience. You know, I have not just one thing wrong with me or two things. I have a full body thing going on from neck to lower back to my foot, and the nerves have affected my hands, severely limiting me to use a computer and do, you know, life function things. But I also have had a very large hernia, which was done under emergency surgery. It took 6 hours. I thought they put one big mesh in. And I went to see Kimberly because this mesh in me was so stiff and so hard. It made my breathing difficult. And I had learned to breathe sort of in gulps of air. And whenever I
ate... Why do they put a mesh in for a hernia? To keep it from place?
Yes, I had had two prior big belly surgeries. And whenever you cut through the fascia and through the peritoneum, that's what holds your guts in against gravity and all. Otherwise, they spill out. As you get older, you get a pot belly. That's gravity pushing, you know, pushing on the peritoneum, which is intact. Mm-hmm. So when you have surgery, you run the risk of that splitting open. And I had two of those big belly surgeries, midline, which means running up and down the middle, and they split open. So apparently, and I worked through this. I worked 6 months, and slowly the tear just kept tearing. So 6 months later, like all of my large intestines were hanging out. And I didn't know it. I knew something was going on. And my doctors kept telling me I was fine, just getting fat, but I was losing weight, so it didn't add up. Finally, one doctor put two and two together and said, oh, my God, and palpated the bowels that were outside of the peritoneum. And they rushed me to the ER because that could have blown at any second, and that would have been an instant death. So it was a six-hour surgery, and, you know, I'd never thought of it at the time. I thought they just had one big piece of mesh. Think of it as a knitted sweater, and the knitted sweater goes in to reinforce the peritoneum and all that stuff that holds you in, and your blood vessels grow through it, through the Dacron fibers, and it becomes...
Tell people what the peritoneum is, because I don't know, so other people don't.
Okay, it's like a sheath the peritoneum is like a big sheath that your guts are in a sac kind of thing. They're in a sac. They're not just laying up against your skin. There's things there holding your belly in, your whole abdominal cavity. They're a part of your body. They're anatomically correct. And the peritoneum and these other things are a very thick, shiny, very, you know, they're designed to hold things in. There's also similar things around muscles. If you can envision a muscle chart in a workout room or a doctor's office, the white stuff coming off the muscles attaching to ligaments and bones, or like ligaments and bone, ligaments.
And when you said you test your colon was falling out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you said that, was, you don't mean, your stomach wasn't, your stomach area was not open. It was falling out inside your body.
Inside the body, yes. Inside
okay,
the body.
Okay, I wanted to make sure. Sure.
When a guy gets a hernia, when a guy gets an inguinal hernia, he's got a part of his large bowel bulging through that tear, and usually from lifting. A lifting can tear, and it's usually in the lower area that's under stress when you pick something up, and that's down there. For a woman who's had a hysterectomy and then other surgeries, it's usually midline, right up the middle of the belly button area. So I tore straight up. I had a 17.5 centimeter, kind of double that to make it inches and subtract a little bit. So that's pubic bone to sternum. It had torn. So things were all starting to fall out. And if that happens, your bowels can twist on each other, and you can die from that. So I was in grave danger of that happening. It hadn't happened. And so they got me in surgery right away. And it was a six-hour surgery. It was a big deal. And what they do is they repair the hernia by putting this piece of artificial or Dacron mesh. And it's like a very tightly knitted sweater that they lay over the peritoneum once they sew that back together. And they're afraid it'll tear again. They reinforce it by putting this big piece of mesh, or a whole bunch of little pieces in my case, which they didn't tell me. I learned that from Kimberly. And they stitch them all together like a quilt. And they reinforce the area where the tear is so that it won't tear again. And they told me when I woke up, that thing's not going anywhere. Nothing will get that out. That's how tight they made it. Well, they made it real tight, okay. It slowly developed adhesions. Not only was it incorporated into my body, in other words, blood vessels run through it, and it becomes like almost living tissue, but it began to make scar tissue. Scar tissue that was growing, 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 and wrapping around my lower bowels and my small intestine as well, and working its way up toward my pancreas and kidneys. So Kimberly said, I don't know how you're still alive with this. And it's given me severe abdominal cramps and problems eating and breathing. I actually learned to breathe in gulps of air. And every time I would eat, after about half hour, 40 minutes, the vagus nerve, which is a big nerve that runs up and down the body, and it can cause that angina or chest pain in the heart. I would get severe chest pain, and I knew it was the vagus nerve because I know where it runs. And I would just breathe through it, or I would hold my breath because you couldn't inhale. You couldn't use your diaphragm to take a breath. And I learned to hold my breath for like a minute because I knew it would pass. And then whatever I ate would move, get off the vagus nerve, and then it would proceed downward. And then every time the food I ate would make a turn, I could feel it. I could actually trace my digestion. But it was just very difficult to live that way. And you never know when you need to use the bathroom or when you don't, and you're in pain and you're doubled over and you have to breathe. So I learned to breathe out of rhythm in between these severe cramps. And it was just a holy nightmare. And you've seen... apparently, these meshes now, they know, are not a good idea.
You see the commercials on TV, call 1-800-LAWYER-MESH because they're suing the companies and getting free.
They're getting, you could sue them, in other words. Okay.
You could sue them and get free surgery to remove it. I was reticent in making that phone call because I thought to myself, how are they ever going to get it out? I could see it in my mind's eye, and I don't know how they ever would have gotten that mess out because everything had grown into it. It was twisted around everything. They would have had to go in through the side, called a retroperitoneal approach, which means a scar all the way up your side and come in sideways to get it. And that's hard to do. There's just not enough room. So in my mind, I couldn't even envision how they'd get it out. So
now, let me intrude. Before you went to see Kimberly, you had a session with her on the phone, correct?
Correct.
Did she pick this up on the phone?
She did pick something up and asked me what was going on with the abdominal area. And I told her that I had a hernia repair, and it was giving me great problems. And she said she would need to do a hands-on for that. That would be complicated. And she said, I'll be on the East Coast. Book an appointment when I'm on the East Coast.
Okay, so go on.
Yep, so when that calendar opened up on the East Coast, back in June or so, I got on, and I got the last appointment on Saturday, the last Saturday. And I was very thankful and blessed to get that last appointment. So I knew I was going, and nothing was going to stop me at that point. And I didn't know what she was going to do. So when I got there, and it was my turn to go in, she does a body scan. She's a human MRI machine. And she picked up on my sinuses. She picked up on the neck. And then she said, what's going on the belly here? I got something with the belly. I need to see your scar. I need to see your scar. These are her guides were telling her that. And so I picked my shirt up.
Did she know you had a scar?
Well, no. She then had forgotten. She didn't really know me at all. She would not have remembered from the Skype session. There's no way she would have remembered this. So it was all brand new, and I didn't tell her. But her guides were telling her to look at the scar. And so I picked my shirt up, and she tried to palpate or put her fingers. When you go to the doctor, they always, thump on your chest and put their fingers in, kind of around your ribs and poke. She couldn't even poke. There was no room to even dent the top of the skin. That's how tight it was. And she said, oh, my. Is it always like this? I said, yes, it's always like that. You could bounce a quarter off of my abdomen. And she said, they want this out. They want this out. They want it out now. And then she said, they're saying something about the belly button, the belly button. I said, yeah, the belly button. I also had what's called an abdominoplasty, or commonly known as a tummy tuck, because the skin had stretched out so far from the hernia that they decided to reconstruct that, which they basically take your skin, stretch it out, cut it off with a knife, and your belly button is usually in there. That's how much my skin stretched out from this. So they take your belly button out, and they make a fake one, like a pucker, on the inside, and apparently the surgeon rolled the skin back up underneath me on the inside. And Kimberly picked up on that.
This was a cosmetic procedure, right?
The hernia was done by a general surgeon, and then before they woke me up, a plastic surgeon came in to do that procedure and close the incision.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so there were actually two procedures done by two different doctors.
So the second one, the plastic surgeon, was cosmetic.
Yeah, it was a cosmetic to get rid of the. It was sort of necessary. It was a necessary thing because I would have had these folds of skin hanging down to my knees. Maybe not that far, but yeah. So he did the tuck part of it and created this fake belly button, and she said that was all entangled and full of adhesions and scar tissue. So she
said they want this out. They want it out now. And she went in three times with her hands. And it's the strangest experience. Not only did I feel like I was in an electromagnetic, like huge electromagnet, and someone turned the on switch on, my bones were vibrating on the inside. The power was incredible. And I had to breathe through it. And I'm familiar with the procedure. I know how it's done. And I can actually see her hands or her guide's hands inside of me working on getting this mesh out. And she kept saying, keep breathing, keep breathing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I am healed. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm healed. And I'm breathing and breathing. And it's such a strange sensation that I was staring at Kimberly. And in the middle of her forehead, a triangle appeared, like where her third eye would be, and the triangle was around it. So I focused on that because it really felt like hands were inside of me, moving things around. And they were vibrating the mesh out of me. And they would say, okay, it's coming out now, it's coming out now, breathe, breathe, breathe. And I could feel this thing coming out. And then she said, it's being vibrated out of the universe. And then they would go back in. She said it was layer upon layer. It wasn't one mesh. It was several layers of mesh that they had sewn together and made it like a patchwork so that it would never blow again. So they had to get, that was unknown to me. And they went back in and got more out, like another layer. And so I'm breathing, breathing, breathing. And it, you know, push it away, give it to the Holy Spirit. And then she went back in a third time and got the rest of it out. And it was just an absolutely amazing experience. I felt post-surgical. I felt not as bad as the original surgery, but I had all that stinging pain post-surgical operation feeling that I had when I had the surgery. And she told me to ice it and be very calm and pure for 3 days. I'm pure anyway, but, you know, like say a lot of prayers and the Our Fathers or whatever I would do to be spiritual and be
yeah,
very calm.
I just want to be clear here because people may not have gotten this. She did not remove it from your body through your skin. They made it disappear. Right.
They made it disappear, but I could feel hands in me. I could feel things moving inside of me as if I was in surgery. And I'm seeing things being moved. Like I could see it in my brain as trying to process these sensations. And breathing helped shut down what I was seeing because it was distracting me. Because part of me wanted to watch it, but I couldn't because I had to breathe, be outside of myself, kind of. And it was just a very odd sensation because there were hands in there and everything was vibrating and I'm breathing through it. And all of a sudden it felt like a cork was pulled and I could breathe for the first time in years. And I felt this relaxation, like everything relaxed. And then Kimberly stopped and could finally, she could palpate or put her fingers on my belly and push down, and it went down like a normal belly, like a couple of inches. And she could kind of get her hands under my rib cage, which she couldn't do before. So this thing was gone. This thing was gone. And on top of that, anytime you have a belly surgery, they take your intestines out and they put them in a bowl wrapped up in a wet paper towel kind of thing. And then they put them back at the end of the surgery, you know, to get to the kidneys or to get somewhere else, to get to the uterus. And each time they do that, they can never put the intestines, your bowels back the right way. And your brain is wired up to the way you were born. And so that throws off your electrical activity in the body. So they corrected that too from the three surgeries or four surgeries I had. Each time they would put the bowels back and it was a different location. So I felt like I was walking around with a hornet's nest for the last X amount of years. And if I got even a little stressed, this thing would just buzz all the time. That buzzing has gone away too. So they corrected and put me anatomically back together. and the energy is flowing. And certain parts of me that were sort of dead, you could say, are now waking up in the lower chakra region. And I have more feeling down there. And I'm retraining my brain on how to breathe. And you're supposed to rest for 3 days and put ice on it. And, of course, I had to get back to the hotel and, you know, take the trains and do all that and buses. And I had to fly, get on a plane. And so I've been resting these last couple of days. And there was an awakening in me somewhere of things that I really needed to work through that were, you know, just issues in my life were coming up that were buried, maybe unconscious or really deep subconscious, things that I needed to process and let go. So they came bubbling up, and I've been, you know, working on that and letting it go. So it's been a really beautiful spiritual experience. I can walk. I actually, you know, am soft in the gut, you know, I'm soft. I can breathe. I feel better. I can eat without having all those strange pains. I would call this a miracle. And to get that thing out, that would have killed me. I would not have survived a surgery if I had had one. And that's what her guide said. Things were so bad in there. And I don't know how this thing would have ever, how long I would have been here. You know, I just don't know. Because they never could have gotten it out conventionally. I mean, to me, this is like, whoa, a miracle. This is just a miracle. And I feel terrific. I feel great from it.
That is so awesome. And
It is awesome. I think of all the poor people out there that are stuck with these meshes. Like, I don't think too many people are out there alive that have what I have. They probably have smaller ones. But the ones that do have them, you know, are really having severe problems. She also said that a lot of my other issues in my neck and my back and my feet were from the mesh, because the mesh, you know, the scar tissue sends out like seeds, you know, signals to make more scar tissue. So it was sending signals to make scar tissue in my neck, in my hands, impinging on nerves. So her guides told her that the other body parts should start to calm down now that mesh is gone and the intestines are back where they belong, anatomically correct, and all of the energies are flowing and I can breathe, which is nice.
All right.
It's a miracle.
Listen, thank you so much for sharing, and we better get to
our questions.
But I took the time for that because somebody, one of you is going to hear this and say, I've got to go see Kimberly, and I wanted you to hear the potential of what she does. But I also want you to know that you have to move into spirit when you're with her. You have to be in at least faith and open to so they can work on you like that. Otherwise, they won't. And she's told me, there's people that have been on her table, and they told her that they couldn't work on that person, and she kicked them off the table. So it's good to get, if you're going to travel to see her, it's good to get a phone thing just to get the gut-level connection to see the potential for something like this happening for you if you need it, okay? And, you know, she can't do it on the phone, all right? At least, maybe she will at some point, but up till now, she can't, you know? No, I know sometimes we've done a couple of sessions over the phone with Terry, and she has used me and asked me, could I touch Terry in a certain place? And that helped. But I don't think it helped to where she could have done something like she did with Prudence. Okay? So that's all. Kimberly's going to be in San Francisco, and sooner or later, if everything goes the way we think it's going. She's going to be in Sedona, and we're going to do either a day or 2 day event together, which should be awesome if she'll let me talk. So, but she's learning more and more to appreciate what I do. You know, one of the things recently is a rather well-known doctor. His name is Norm Shealy. Norm Shealy in Missouri. And he's an alternative doctor, one of the more famous ones. And he's the guy that actually invented the TENS machine. And somebody told him about Kimberly, and she's supposed to go to Missouri, and he's going to do all these tests on her, and if it works out, he's going to be writing her up in all these scientific journals. And I wouldn't wait too long to schedule something with her, because she's either going to get expensive or she's going to be having a very long wait list, okay? So, I mean, it takes a lot of energy. It took a huge amount of energy for her to go to New York City. And she'll probably have to rest for a week to recoup herself. So, on that note, Terry, are you unmuted?
I believe so.
I hear you. Good. Okay, let's hurry up and get into this, because we let Prudence talk a long time. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light, surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone here, and any negativity be released to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are pleased to be with you this day in October, 4th of October, 2017. We assist where we can. We and some civilizations have been named as gods, but we are not. We are your brothers and sisters in the higher realms. And we do not wish to be worshipped. We wish to assist wherever we can. You take the lead, and then we see your intentions and your questions, and then we assist. If we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, disregard it, as it does not apply for you at that time. Do you have questions?
Yes. We got a question from Margaret Highland in Auckland, New Zealand. And Margaret is a lovely person, and her health has not been well for a long time. And I know she listens to our shows and she listens to the replays. And she asks, is there anything or anyone I can petition for help, or are those with me? In other words, she has certain guides or spirits with her, all I can have. I understand all that has happened. It is too late. Is it too late for any favorable changes at all at this time? love it. If I had the money, I'd fly you to see Kimberly. You know that? But since we can't do that right now, let me turn it over to our sources and see what they have to say.
Thank you. In the larger picture, everything is okay. In the smaller picture, zeroing in and focusing in, we see that your body has certain deficiencies in minerals and in nutrition that need to be with your body to repair. One of the things is to make sure that you get an alkaline pH within your urine so that the body then can rest and can have more electrons to repair. Rest is important. Some exercise as you can is important. There are various protocols, various foods that can help to avoid or to increase. The intake of sugar is not good, although it gives immediate energy. It, in the long run, saps the strength. Cookies, sweets, breads can be cut way back. We take a look at the area around where you are. Organic meats can provide protein. Organic vegetables and fruits that are high nutrition that give you more energy would be helpful. We zero in further and see that going to a good doctor that knows holistic methods can check out your system and can further fine tune what is going on with you. We then refocus and broaden to your guides. Your guides stand ready to help you where they can. Your guides love you. You are fortunate to have such guides. They are not just this life friends. They are friends into your future lives. We send you a burst of energy and love. We send a field, and we see that you have friends that are also wishing your health to be regained. Thanking your guides from time to time is helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I wanted to mention, there is a pretty sharp alternative doctor in Florida that I have not used him for anything yet, but I think he is sharp and he is highly intended, and he talks to people all day and doesn't charge anybody. He is knows a lot of different issues, and I'm going to give his phone number because he welcomes phone calls. It's his service to talk to people and help them with issues, when especially people who can't afford it, okay? His name is
Ronald
Drucker, D-R-U-C-K-E-R. If you leave a message, he'll usually call you back within a couple hours if he doesn't answer. And he doesn't rush you through. He'll talk with you a long time. And that's a very rare thing to find in today's world. So his number is 954-547-0487. 954-547-0487. And at this point, he knows me. I've talked to him a few times. Today I had to talk to him about the work I'm doing, and he was really, really enthused about it. And we'll probably be talking again, and I might have him as a guest on a Monday night call. But I know I'm going to get five people saying, what was that doctor's phone number? I'll answer you. I'll tell you what it is. But again, Margaret, if you can get the money for a long-distance call, call him up and talk to him, okay? Because he may know things, and he does know things, that are fairly hard to find out. Ron Drucker, 954-547-0487. Now, you know what? We got one more question, and we talked so long to Prudence. I really shouldn't ask this question, but I think it's important. So, you know what? If the answer goes on for more than 2 minutes, which probably will, I'm going to stay on this line and answer the question. Let them answer the question before we go over to Whole Planet Healing. But somebody better go over there to welcome people, the greeter, and the rest of you can listen. And if you're on BBS, you're going to have to check out any minute. So thank you for being here. And this is a question from Jeannie Judd in Citrus Heights, California. And I'm going to assume BBS is going to cut me off whenever they do. And but we'll stay on here. We'll probably get the Whole Planet Healing by 5 after 7. And if you want to stay here and listen, you can, and then we'll all just move over there, okay? So on September 27th, I heard an interview with a man named Michael Bell, who believes he has been abducted numerous times and says he has received many implants in his body during these abductions, some or all of which he has gone to considerable trouble to have removed. I was rather startled when the description and location of one of his implants sounded identical to something I also have. He described a small bump that seemed to be protruding from his jawbone inside his mouth, a short distance below his lower gum line. He asked the doctor or dentist if it could be removed, and could he please have whatever it was removed. The doctor agreed, but when he showed up for the surgical appointment, the doctor has changed his mind and said he could not give the item that was retrieved to Michael, that it had to be sent to a pathology lab for testing. This seems strange, because if there were a particular medical protocol, wouldn't the doctor have been cognizant of that protocol to begin with? Michael seemed to suggest that someone had gotten to the doctor and threatened him with consequences if he turned the item over to the man whose body it had been removed from. And the lab reported that the item was a mucoid substance, i.e. organic, which Michael felt was not true. I also have a bump protruding from my jawbone inside my mouth, a little below the gum line. It appeared out of nowhere decades ago. I never had it checked out by a doctor or dentist. I told myself that if it ever started growing or changing in any way, I would have it looked into. But it has never changed. But now that I heard Michael Bell's description of the same thing, I am wondering, could I possibly have an implant? I'd like to know if it is an implant or some sort of benign growth. Two, if it is an implant, can our sources be activated so it can never be used as any kind of control mechanism by whoever implanted it in me? Thank you.
Thank you. The gentleman that you referred to, we see that it was an organic substance that was built out of the biology of the body, and it was due to a blockage in the area of the teeth. Good hygiene in the mouth is very important, and routine cleanings with the dentist is very important.
Excuse me, are you saying that the man's thing was actually not an implant, but something organic that grew?
We look at it as something organic that grew out of bacteria and substances of that nature that was coming from the bacteria in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.